WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the week before the game that matters. The fake football's all over with. It's cuts week. Guys are getting apartments and figuring things out, and agents, and teams are hiding players, trying to trade players, all sorts of things going on here this week. All of our WNST Maryland Crab Cake Tour stops brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away the Maryland Lottery Instant Scratch-Offs on Tuesday, which is cut-down day. We're going to be at Pappas. I found my Pappas shirt, so thank you very much to Justin, Steve, everybody on the Pappas team. We'll be in Glen Burnie on Tuesday afternoon. I've never been to the Pappas in Glen Burnie. I'm looking forward to that. I have been to the DMV down the street. I spent a lot of time in Glen Burnie during my formative years, so it'll be a fun time there with Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman joining us, as well as former Executive WNST producer Ray Bachman. I think he's been, you know, for being a producer who was always like, time, are you going to be? I'm trying to figure out Ray Bachman. So anytime I get near Pasadena, I need him to come on because it is our 25th anniversary. We are celebrating 25 years with 25 stories of glory. Story number one are going to be our signs, the legendary, the Wacko for Flacco, the Induct Art, the Not a Chance signs, the Foo fear the Foo signs, Free the Birds. Remember these? I had nothing to do with this. Was Hennessy. That's why the sign's kind of ugly. Though it does say Budweiser on it. And go Orioles. That's what I need to do. Go Orioles. We're going to talk some Ravens here because we've been talking Orioles. And obviously the Felix Bautista thing sucks. But at least we're going to make the playoffs. Ravens, we'll find out. Luke, you know, we got through more fake football. They cut it from six games to four games, to three games. They run around in practice. You've been running around out there. All of us have only seen Lamar Jackson in sunglasses and street clothes for the most part. But we're getting there. They're going to play football next week, right?
Yeah, we're less than 2 weeks away at this point with final cuts this week and roster maneuvering and practice squad formulating and, you know, starting to look ahead to the Houston Texans. We found out late Sunday night C.J. Stroud is indeed going to be their week one starter, which – not surprising. I think you're seeing more and more with these teams when they draft a quarterback. They want to play because they want to have them take their lumps, but also you find out about them more quickly. And that's the key for that. So you look at the early season schedule. Ravens are going to play C.J. Stroud in Houston week one, Cincinnati week two, Anthony Richardson and Indianapolis in week three. So they're going to have a rookie quarterback on the other side two of the first 3 weeks. And yeah, that's where you look at where they are defensively with Marlon Humphrey presumably sidelined for all those games and trying to figure out this pass rush, which, you know, David Ajabo didn't show a whole lot in the preseason, which I'm not hot and bothered about one way or the other, but would have been nice to see him flash maybe a little bit more than we saw, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to be effective. They have Jadeveon Clowney, who they've added to the mix. You know, they have a number of corners options, you know, to step up for Humphrey, but they all kind of carry a question mark of health, experience, you know, just the overall ability when you're talking about a young player. So they're trying to, you know, they're trying to figure that out. You know, meanwhile,
you'll find your ceiling when you see Jamar Chase running around, right?
Sure. No question about it. But as we saw last year with Mike McDonald, you know, the Ravens seem to, from a schematic standpoint, they did better against Cincinnati than a lot of teams did. Let's put it that way. So, you know, in terms of your corners, playing a little more zone.
They signed two safeties last year to be a part of this, right? Like, they're always, sure, thanks to your blog back in the day, you know, when Rex Ryan left here for 10 years, they're always chasing the next corner, right? Or the trying to find the next Ladarius Webb, trying to find that next sort of gem, that sort of Eric's Charge. This is where they're going to have to find that because they're not going to find the fountain of Marlon Humphrey anytime soon, right?
Yeah, and that's where they're hoping that Ronald Darby, who they brought in late in training camp, you know, a guy who, when he's been healthy in his career, has been an above-average starter. But the problem is he's only 11 months removed from a torn ACL in Denver last year. So normally, if he was just someone you were bringing in and your cornerback room was, you know, not stacked, but not quite as unsettled as it is right now, he'd probably be a guy you'd want to bring along more slowly, but he's going to have to play. So you're going to have to figure this out. You know, that's where you look at that position group right now. And I'm anticipating them keeping as many of these guys around as they can, just because there's so much unknown, you know. I mean, even Rock Ya-Sin, who they signed to be Marcus Peters' replacement after the draft, he missed most of August with a knee issue. Now he's back on the field. You know, by all accounts, looks like he'll be ready for week one, but you know, how does he fit? How does he look in this Ravens defense? You know, because there is a learning curve. They asked their defensive players to do a heck of a lot. So there's a lot of question at corner. Certainly there's question at the pass rush. But to your point, whether you're talking about safety, whether you're talking about Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen at inside linebacker, whether you're talking about a defensive line that even without Calais Campbell, there are very high expectations. You know, they're going to need those other positions of strength to step up and be at their very best, because you aren't quite sure what you're going to get out of cornerback early on without Marlon Humphrey. So it's not, I don't think it's a situation of panic, but I do think it's a situation of, what's that going to look like? And certainly it's not ideal when you're going to Cincinnati in week two to play the Bengals. But on the flip side, if you're looking for reason to feel a little more confident, Joe Burrow missed the entire preseason. So, you know, that you're talking about a Cincinnati offense that probably isn't going to be firing on all cylinders right out of the gate because they were missing their quarterback for the entire summer. So be interesting to see how it plays out, but you're right. We're beyond the preseason. I do think I do want to note, because we talk so much about the long preseason winning streak, they've lost two preseason games in a row now. What's going on? But I jest. But it's time for to kick it off for real. You know, it's time to start looking ahead now and looking at the schedule. And this is a team that I have very high expectations for. I know you're not as high on the offense as I am, although, you know, I have my curiosity, I have my questions about the offense, but I think the upside is really exciting and it's going to look different. And we saw that even in the preseason, just from a personnel grouping standpoint, more three wide receiver sets, more spread out. Not quite as much of a, you know, playing football in a phone booth in the way that they did with Greg Roman as their coordinator. So, you know, we haven't seen Lamar Jackson in a live game setting. We haven't seen any of these starters other than what, Zay Flowers and a couple others. So there's plenty of unknown. There's plenty of curiosity, but you know, the light is at, you know, we're reaching that light at the end of the tunnel, and it's just about time to kick it off for real. And that's an exciting thing when you're talking about, as we've talked about, Orioles heading to the playoffs and the Ravens about to kick it off.
You know, for being a guy that kissed their ass for 27 years and has been thrown out, and I'll be writing about that next week at length for everybody to give some of the whys and wherefores. This reputation I've picked up for being negative about the Ravens or listen, they have the most talented wide receiver room that they've had in years because of your blogs beating them up about it, right? I mean, and because everybody beating them up about it. And Eric had to go back and rub the feelings of his wide receivers like Prochet and Duvernay and these guys, because he drafted other guys and he signed other guys and he spent money on Odell Beckham. And will Odell Beckham earn this money? Will the stats at the end look like what the number on paper? I don't know. All I know is they did everything they could do to not throw the football for 5 years for a reason. I don't know what that reason was. Personnel grouping, the way they wanted to run the ball, the way they controlled the clock down in distance in 2019, and Roman did it. It was world class. We'll never see it again. That they tried to replicate that. Now they've broken that egg. They're doing something different. I don't know what to make of their offense. I don't know how I'm going to feel about Lamar Jackson throwing the ball 38 times a week. Because you're talking wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. They better throw the ball more than 22 times. You know, I mean, because if they do that, they're 14 of 22. That means Odell Beckham caught four balls and Andrews caught three. You know what I mean? They're going to have to throw the ball effectively and with real stats and with control where they're not punting and they're not turning the ball over. I need to see that. Now, they're going to kill Houston next week, right? Like, I believe that. I mean, they're playing a rookie quarterback. I mean, like, the whole deal at home, all this inertia they have, they'll probably make some mistakes and it won't even cost them. They'll win by 21 points next week. So I don't know that we learn anything when we get together after next week, but I think over the course of the season, whether this is really going to be effective, where they're going to, I don't want to say abandon the run, because you're going to say, well, they're going to run it. They can only do one or the other, and they're not going to possess the ball to run 80 plays. I don't believe that. If they're that effective, they'll get up and down the field and score on six plays, throwing the ball. Zay Flowers, somebody misses. He goes 38 yards. If they're playing like that, if they're playing Kurt Warner ball, okay, I'll hear it. I just got to see it because I've never seen Lamar do it. I got questions about Beckham. I got questions about Ronnie Stanley's health. I got questions about whether they can run the ball at all in this format. It's one thing throwing Pat Ricard out there and boxing up and having a quarterback that wants to run the ball 8, 10, 12, 21 times a week. How much is Lamar going to run? He's their best player. He's their best weapon. Him throwing the ball, I'm nonplussed by that. I don't think he's going to be a great thrower. Nobody ever thought he was going to be a great thrower. They think that this balanced thing of running and the sleight of hand and first guy misses him. How much is he going to run? I don't hear anything about him running. I don't hear anything about him getting broken in half. It's like he played full seasons the last couple of weeks. I mean, all this optimism, it's beautiful, but I haven't seen anything. So I'm not optimistic about it. I'm curious. I mean, I'm not pessimistic. I'm pessimistic at the notion that they're going to throw the football a lot and it's just going to be easy because I don't think it's going to be easy.
Well, and this is where I'll continue to remind you because you want to just gloss over it. He led the NFL in touchdown passes 4 years ago. He can throw the football. You know, this isn't he's only thrown it 10 times a game. He's a much better passer than you want to give him credit for. That aside, I hear everything you're saying, and I have curiosity too, because where I look at it, and I'm not viewing it from a standpoint that they're going to be Kurt Warner and the Rams and the greatest show on turf either. They're going to throw the ball more than they have in the past. I don't think it means that they're going to lead the NFL in pass attempts or anything like that. But where my curiosity lies, and this is along the lines of what you're just suggesting, I'm just going to express it in a way that, you know, that I feel gives Lamar more credit that he deserves, I think, quite frankly. I am curious to see if we're going to see this prove out, you know, this proven out in a way that it's a chicken or the egg kind of deal, right? With Greg Roman and the offense they had in place and what they tried to be offensively, was that a case of, was that holding Lamar Jackson back? Was that holding this, the potential of a passing attack back? Or was it something they were doing to hide some of Lamar Jackson's limitations as a passer, perceived or reality? So that's where my curiosity lies. Now, the difference here, and this is where I, you know, some of what you just said, they're going to run the football. They have this, they have four or five starters returning on the offensive line that run blocked really well. And you don't have to have Greg Roman be your offensive coordinator to see that when Lamar Jackson is your quarterback, whether he's going to take off and run individually himself or not, the simple threat of him doing that forces a defense to account for that possibility, which will continue to help them run the football. So,
and that's still been their best play since the minute he was drafted. Their best play has been Lamar might run.
Sure.
And if Lamar runs, so sure. That's where I get weirded out by all these wide receivers and all this great room. We don't even talk about Andrews. How often are they going to want to throw? And for 5 years, I said that every year when there was whatever the optimism would be that the passing game would be better. That's all we talked about in 2021, 22. Like, will the passing game be better? Can it be better? Can they find more balance? Can Lamar run less? Can he run into linebackers less? What if we had better wide receivers? Well, they have all of that now, which means I think they're going to throw more and he's going to run less. And he's still their best player, and that's their best play. And that's what makes him special. And to your point, it's still there, but how often are they going to utilize that? And every time they utilize that, it's one less pass that Mark Andrews gets or Odell Beckham gets, and one more first down where they say, well, let's run it again. And if they're in second and one all day like they were, then they can do stuff with Zay Flowers like they did with Hollywood, like they did in 2019 to be really effective where the run set up the pass. And I know you're going to say that it's going to be that way, but the run was kind of setting up the run for years.
It was, but again, go back and look at the efficiency of the way that they were able to throw the ball in 2019. Now, again, the volume wasn't extraordinary, but they had the number one, you know, in terms of efficiency and DVOA and different things like that, they threw the ball extremely well. Now, was that all set up off the run? Yeah, it was. And I still think they're going to do a lot of RPO play action, things of that nature. I just think it's going to be, you're going to see more of that out of 11 personnel. It'll force defenses to spread out. I think that's going to help whoever's running the ball then in turn, whether it's Lamar, who I still expect to run. Is he going to average 10 or 11 rushing attempts per game, or is it going to be seven, let's say? Which, hey, if he takes one of those to the house, that's still pretty darn good
But
in
if it's
terms of what
seven
he's
and they're
going to
not
do.
designed plays, right? I mean, the design of most of the plays was here, you take it, no, I got it, let's go run. I mean, it was like magnet football 5 years ago. It evolved beyond
Yeah.
that. Roman tried to evolve it beyond that. Then he kept getting hurt at the end of years after having some level of success some of the time. But like I'm not convinced that once they get into fire and they're down 10 points in the third quarter, that's still not their best play. And I want to see Lamar play differently, and I want to see that be successful. I haven't seen that. I'm not saying it can't be done. They just gave him $250 million. They think he can do it. They clearly have bet their lives that he can do it. I haven't seen him do it, and I certainly haven't seen him do it in January, which is a whole. I'm
Well,
just talking about between here and there. I am convinced, Luke, they're going to be 7-2. I'm convinced of that. Like I think they're going to be good, but I don't know that it's going to be good through the air 42 times. I think it's going to look more of the way you think it was going to look, and I don't think anybody's going to burn the world up with stats passing in this off. I just don't think they're going to want to do it that way once the bullets start. To your point, Dobbins run. Hey, we're running the ball well. Let's keep running. Hey, we're running the ball. Hey, we won. Odell, you only got the ball three times. Okay, I mean, I think they can win that way. I think they'd be dumb to not win that way. And that's why all these wide receivers, I'm sort of confounded by it, because this guy's going to have five, and that's going to have six, and this is going to have four, and Andrew's going to, all of a sudden, that sounds like 40 passes to me. And I don't know where that's coming from. That's the weird part. And I'm not there to ask questions anymore. And that was always my question for John that pissed him off, which is, what is balance? I would ask them that every April. What does it look like when it's perfect? When you get Lamar where you want him, what's the stat sheet look like in an ideal scenario? What for him running? Because he has a different kind of stat sheet than any other quarterback, because he can run the ball 150 times a year.
Yeah, well, I think any coach is going to tell you it depends on the flow of the game. There are going to be some, and we've seen this. Lamar Jackson doesn't run it 22 times a game, but we've seen him on occasion do that. That hasn't been that often, especially, since his rookie year. That hasn't been nearly as often, but there are times where he has to run more. There have been some times where he's only run three times a game, and the passing game has worked. I don't think it has to be 42 times, but I think it's probably going to be 35.
Well, run when the pocket breaks down is something we rarely see him do, because they don't set a pocket and play that way. They're going to play that way now. He's going to drop back, get chased by somebody else's clowny, and find space and become Superman. And that's good Lamar, but that's not really what you want him to do. You want him to drop back and hit Zay Flowers and let him do it.
Well, I think you're still gonna, and that's where I think you're gonna see the difference made up. You're not gonna see as many designed runs for Lamar Jackson, but because you are throwing more than you have in the past, and again, I'm not gonna say it's 45 times because I'll continue to say I don't think they're gonna throw that much. I don't think they're going from one extreme to the other, but I think because you are dropping back more, because you are going to put teams in positions where you're spreading them out more, so there are fewer guys in the box, because you're not playing two and three tight end set football as often as they were in the past, that you're now in a position where you have all these guys downfield in routes. Lamar Jackson, okay. John Simpson gets beat, or Morgan Moses gets beat, and Lamar dodges them and takes off. I think you'll
It's
see
more
some more.
dangerous.
I think you'll see more scrambles in that way. So, and that doesn't mean that that's going to happen 15 times a game. I'm talking a few times, a handful of times it happens, but if Lamar takes one of those for 45 or 50 yards for a touchdown, then there you go. I mean, that's.
Or if he evades and gets on the run and stays behind the sticks and finds Zay Flowers and somebody busts the coverage, then that's where this really becomes dangerous. And I'll say that going into it, right? This becomes dangerous. Lamar fades back to pass. Somebody gets beaten. Somebody gets off the edge. They think they got him. They can't catch him. He's a water bug. So he moves into a space where he becomes a nastier Ben Roethlisberger, right? Like at that point, extending a play to throw it, not to run it, to throw it. We haven't seen
Exactly.
him do that. They haven't tried to do that. Most plays, he was either the runner or the decoy in the running game, and they ran 3 out of 4 times, sometimes 7 out of 8 times.
Yeah, I mean, they've done it, but to your point, not a whole lot. And when they've done it, it's looked pretty good. And a lot of times it's been the improv that we've seen with Lamar and Mark Andrews downfield. But now you have a Zay Flowers. You're hoping to have a healthy Rashad Bateman. You have Odell Beckham, who, look, I have my questions about Beckham over a full season. But, Nestor, I will say, he impressed me this summer. He practiced way more than I thought he would. And, yeah, they managed his reps day to day. It's not as though he was taking every single starter rep every single day. So they would have him on a pitch count. And there would be days where they'd send him in early and he got his work in, and they did that because you should do that with your veteran players. You know, Mark Andrews should take more vet days, quite frankly. I've said that for the last year or two because he's that good. You know, he doesn't need to practice every single rep. You know, he's that good. You know, he's that important to you, and he's getting older, you know, and he's so important to what they do. But the Beckham that I've seen, I think he can help them. And again, is that going to last for 17 games? Is he going to run as well in October and November and December as he ran in August? I have the same questions as everyone else in that regard, but he's looked good. And I'll you know, I'm the first guy that says, don't put too much stock into training camp in the preseason. And that's true, but it's still all we have to go off of right now. It's the first time he's been on the football field since the end of, you know, him tearing up his knee in the Super Bowl against the Bengals when he was a Los Angeles Ram. But my point is, they are better at wide receiver. And on paper, it looks like it has the potential to be the best passing game that they've had under Lamar Jackson. And it better be, to your point, because of all the money they've spent and the resources they pumped into it. But we had seen the Greg Roman offense and that approach go as far as it could go. And it's gone as far as the divisional round of the postseason. And now the last couple of years, it didn't go that far because Lamar was hurt. And that's going to be paramount. Lamar's got to play 16 or 17
I don't think the
games.
System was broken. I think Lamar was broken.
Well, I think you're giving Greg Roman a little too much of a pass, but, and part of it was their receivers were never good enough. They're never good enough.
Yep. And he knew that.
What we're seeing right now, in previous years, Zay Flowers would have been it, right? Zay Flowers is, you know, a Marquise Brown with more physicality, and he's a tougher player, you know, and I don't mean that as a person, as a football player. He plays tougher. I mean, he just does. And you can already see that. You could see it on tape with him at Boston College even. So, you know, everything is in place, to your point, for them to be better throwing the football than they have been at least since 2019. And even in 2019, it was Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, and hoping to get a couple plays from Willie Snead or Hayden Hurst on occasion. You know, that's kind of what their offense was at that point, beyond running the football. So now you're in a position where you still have J.K. Dobbins. You still have Gus Edwards. I think Justice Hill is going to be a little more involved in this Todd Monken offense than he was with Greg Roman, because I think he's got a skill set that the Ravens like. And you still have Mark Andrews. You still have Isaiah Likely. You still have 4/5 of your starting offensive line from last year. And everyone got through the offseason or got through training camp healthy.
How do you feel about the guard? We got the word on the guard. How are we doing?
Yeah, John Simpson. Yeah, I think, look, he's going to be the weak link of their offensive line. But when you're talking about someone who is between Ronnie Stanley, who practiced just about every day, Nestor, he had a few vet days here and there. It's the healthiest Ronnie Stanley's been in 3 years. Now, will he stay that way? Time will tell. But he finished last year healthy, and he was healthy this summer. So he's between Ronnie Stanley and Tyler Linderbaum, who is an ascending player at the center position, probably has a good chance to be a Pro Bowl player this year. So my point is, they don't need John Simpson to be great. Just give them dependable, high-floor kind of play. And what that means is, know your assignment. Don't jump before the snap count. You know, don't commit holding penalties. Give them a high floor at left guard. You know, he can even be slightly below average in terms of starters, but when he's between those two guys, they're not going to ask him to do a whole lot. So I think for the time being, I think he'll be okay there. You know, I think they were hoping that Big Sala, you know, the sixth round rookie, they were hoping that he could seize control of that job. He wasn't ready. And I think anyone who could stomach watching the last preseason game, he really struggled. I mean, he really struggled. to the point where I wonder if they are going to keep Ben Cleveland.
Well, and the other thing, they
as
were playing
depth at guard.
Starters in that game. You know, they weren't, but Tampa was. So, you know,
he was.
Things, he came in late, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he played just about the whole game. He even struggled against some of Tampa's backup players. I mean, it was this rough go of it for him, to the point where now I'm starting to lean that they're going to keep Ben Cleveland around, not because they love Ben Cleveland, because he's been underwhelming, but probably a better player than Saleh at this point in terms of a game day backup guard. So, you know, that, you know, and we're going to see how that
works out. Yeah, if you have to go
out,
play the Bengals next week with him, right? Literally.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and we're going to see how this works out. I mean, there could be a trade or two. I mean, I'm not saying there's going to be anything big, but there's always some roster maneuvering, especially when you get to your eighth, ninth, 10th offensive lineman, because everyone around the league needs offensive line help. You know, so Ben Cleveland could end up being traded because some team liked him in the draft 2 years ago, and they give you you swap fourth round picks or something like that in a deal. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, John Simpson had a nice summer. He did everything they asked him to do. I will remind everyone, even though he's young himself, he's only 26. He started for the Raiders. I believe it was, I'm going to say, he started every game for them in 2021. Problem is, he had struggled, got to the point where he was benched early last year. They released him in December. He was on the Ravens practice squad last year. I mean, he finished out the season on the practice squad. He flat out said after Saturday's game, he was asked in the locker room after Harbaugh had announced that he was going to be the starting left guard. His confidence was shot when he arrived in Baltimore. But, you know, Joe D'Alessandro, their offensive line coach, you know, Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, you know, John Harbaugh, you know, they've expressed belief in him. And now they've awarded his work in the spring and summer being the starter. And we'll see how it plays out. If he struggles big time, he won't be the starter long. But again, they don't need that left guard spot to be, they don't need that guy to be an all pro. Just be solid, you know, be dependable, stay on the field. Don't commit to too many penalties. Know your assignment. You do that when you're playing between Ronnie Stanley and Tyler Linderbaum, you're probably going to be okay. You know, so I think that's where they are right now. So, you know, there are questions. There's unknown when none of your starters have played in the preseason. So it's going to be a big, you know, not that week one will be a big test, but it'll be a big sense of our curiosity beginning to be satisfied, because we're finally going to see what this thing looks like beyond some practices and joint workouts with the Commanders and guys getting in fights and that, you know. We'll be kicking it off for real here, and we'll be talking about a real game in just a couple weeks.
Man, Springsteen in town, teams in first place. It's almost like Felix Batista didn't get hurt. We got football to talk about around here. Luke will get the cuts out. It's all brought to you by our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford. I need to give a shout out to Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. They're cutting 10% off here for Labor Day weekend. So get on the line, 866-90-NATION. If you've been waiting to get your windows done, this is the time. I'm rolling my Pappas shirt today. I couldn't find it last week. It forced me to do all my laundry. I'm going to be at Pappas on Tuesday. Maybe they'll give me a new one. Maybe I'll get a hat. I'm definitely getting a crab cake. Anne Arundel County Executive joining us at Pappas in Glen Burnie on Tuesday, the 29th. We get the tour back out at Fadley's on September 15th. That's a Friday morning. We're going to be celebrating our Cop and State partnership with Dr. Anthony Jenkins, as well as new basketball head coach Larry Stewart. Stu, as I called him back in the 90s when he was running around here and the Bullets and all that stuff going on. So we'll have a little basketball in the brain as well as some Baltimore positive. Hope you guys enjoyed all of our Mako stuff. We're back to doing like baseball, football, Ravens, all this great stuff happening, and the Orioles in first place. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.